Welcome to the Weaving Web of Consciousness podcast, a space for people with open hearts and minds who are on a journey of expanding consciousness. My name is Marta, and I will be sharing with you my conscious healing journey. Additionally, with my best friend Anna, we'll be exploring the great conscious transformation happening in the world. Join us on an adventure of learning the new ways of being and building bridges across the many concepts that truly need connection as we are building a better world for all beings. And let's learn together how to embrace our humanity with all of its ups and downs so that we can have as good life as possible. This is Weaving Web of Consciousness podcast. My name is Marta.
And my name is Anna.
Welcome to yet another episode on the wonderful topic of energy.
Surprise, surprise.
Yes. We started some time ago. We figured out that there is a lot to be said about energy, and especially if there are two non-experts talking about such a topic as energy, a lot can be said. If everything is to the level of quality we wished, well, there are some sheets of balance and stuff, but it's okay. So last time we talked about energy inventory and the balance sheet of energy and even energy bills made it to the podcast for a little moment. That was not too long. However, today we are going to talk about energy field, energy clearing, energy protection, and if we are lucky, also a little bit about recharging your energy. And we suspect that there will be one more episode and that one extra episode is an episode that we will lean on Anna more than me. So Anna, you gotta prepare, because that will be the fancy one about energy attachments and stuff. This is where you have more interest than me.
Yeah, and there was an energy like disturbance in the field when you said that. Suddenly my screen froze, and I wonder if I projected my energy of being like, oh my god, onto this podcast. So that's why I was silent for a moment, quite flabbergasted. I only use that word when we do podcasts. I normally don't use flabbergasted. This is such a weird thing. So I was flabbergasted, but yeah, that is my interest indeed. And we will talk about this next time. And I have to say that your program for today is quite ambitious, my friend. So I cannot even promise that we will go through all of those things. But let's see. Maybe we'll make it.
Yeah, depending on if we do it like a to-do list, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, or if we will go deeply into it. Yeah, we can do both. Okay, let's start with energy field, because I think in our previous podcast, we only touched upon it. And from a strictly scientific point of view, Anna, I believe it was you mentioning that there are three main energy fields: electric, magnetic, and gravitational.
Yeah, and there is also electromagnetical, and I'm not quite sure if this is the fourth one.
I don't know. But anyway, we are not going to talk about that one.
No.
We are not going to talk.
Although, actually, in a way, it is said that that kind of spirituality and electricity have a lot in common. So maybe because of the fact that we have electromagnetic and electrical field present on this planet Earth, maybe that's why we actually have the whole, you know, shebang with the spiritual energy. Who knows?
Yeah, for sure. And actually, now that I think about it, in some of the spiritual classes that I have been taking,
My spiritual teacher was actually talking about our electromagnetic field and how, yeah, how that connects to spirituality. Yeah, so we might go there. Who knows? However, I thought about, you know, touching upon maybe a little bit more on this connection between what we perceive as physical, our physical body, what we have a pretty good view into as our emotional and mental energy, and maybe entering into broader levels of consciousness or spirituality. And I think one of the most common, commonly known ways of looking at that kind of energy field, often also referred to as aura. I think this is more accessible, more common knowledge for most people, is that there are seven layers of the aura. So the etheric layer is the one that is closest to the body. And then there is emotional layer. That's the one we are very familiar with. If someone is very angry, we can feel it, even though this person might not say anything. Then the next layer is mental layer. And each of them are connected to the chakras. So etheric layer is connected to the root chakra. Emotional layer is connected to our second chakra, the sacral one. Then the mental layer is connected to the third chakra, the solar plexus. And they all go like further and further away from the body. And then the fourth layer is the astral layer. And this one is connected to the heart chakra and acts as a bridge between the physical and spiritual. So this is, I guess, if there is anyone that has had the first enlightenment moments or spiritual experiences or expanded consciousness experiences, this is often referred to as coming from the heart. The fifth layer is the etheric template. So this is connected to the throat chakra and is considered the blueprint of the physical body, because it exists on the physical plane. Then the next one, the sixth one, is celestial layer. It's connected to the third eye chakra. And this is where, with the third eye, the spiritual connection starts. So this is also sometimes referred to as layer of unconditional love. And the seventh one is spiritual layer. And honestly, I started to recently also hear about layers 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and so on, where they expand further and further out of the physical realm and the realm of Earth to the universe and so on. I am not going to bring those ones here. I think we can start with the ones that are more common knowledge because it's easier to refer. And here we are weaving the web of consciousness and connecting the spirituality with our normal day-to-day reality. So I think it's enough to start here. Anna, are you familiar with those layers? Do you know
them?
Well,
I am now. that's not really a common knowledge for me.
But the seven chakras, right? You know the seven chakras very well.
The chakras, yes. But if you phrase it like, have you heard about the seven chakras? I would say yes. Have you heard about those seven layers? I would say probably I read something about this, but I'm not that familiar with it. And when you said that there is like 9, 10, 11, I was like, Jesus, I'm on the third one, please help me. Yeah, but I actually have to say that as for chakras, I am I never really went deep into that topic. I do know what they are, but until now I have to, like, you know, open a book or go on internet, which chakra is what and what they are supposed to be responsible for. I know that people who do yoga are way more familiar with that, and obviously I'm like accidental yoga person, you know, meaning when yoga happens somewhere without me planning, I will participate, but I'm not a practitioner as such. My familiarity level is actually, I would say, low. So very, very curious.
So I think that your strategy was to get me the book about the seven chakras. And even you gave me like a candle. I don't know if you remember.
I remember.
All these colors and so on. So I think your strategy was like mine with astrology. I never retain any knowledge because if I need to need to learn something, I just reach out to you. And you are probably already so tired. Come on, Marta, I told you 100 times what house, which house is what.
It's called outsourcing. Yeah, it's called outsourcing, honey. I was like, chakras, I will give her that topic. And if I need an information, I'm going to call her. So I outsourced this one to you. However, I probably will have a period in my life when this is going to be bigger of an interest, because the topic of chakras and layers are very central to a lot of spiritual traditions and teachings and esoteric schools. So it's just I outsource it for the time being to you.
Yeah, and I haven't gotten really deep into the topic yet either. I definitely feel that the more I work with expanding consciousness, the more aware I become of those layers. And I think this is natural. And some of us have that ability, just we preserve it from childhood. Children are very, very clearly feeling into the energy fields. If you observe any child, you don't have to say anything and there is any subtle change in your emotions and children can feel it. And so I think as children, we are quite attuned to at least, you know, feeling between the several layers. I don't know if all children feel through all the layers, that is difficult to say. However, definitely the natural ability is there from my observation with children. So if we think about it, I think for me the most confusing actually was the etheric layer, because I always thought that etheric is like, you know, something something spiritual, and that's the one connected to the root chakra and that's the one closest to the body. So I was quite surprised by that. However, the emotional layer I'm very familiar with. That's something that I think we emotionally connect. Many of us can feel the emotional layer in ourselves and others. Yet again, the surprise for me was that the mental layer is outside the emotional layer. So that is the one that is further away from the body. But then again, you know, who classifies that stuff? It's a good question. It comes from ancient wisdom. However, that's very, very, very interesting topic. So basically the reason why I wanted to introduce it is because as we build those layers, they go further and further away from our body. And that means that people who are close to us are actually entering our energy field. So that was the main reason why I wanted to introduce at least one model of the aura, just for us to relate to the fact that that it's not only ourselves, that there is an interaction between the energy of my energy field and the people around me energy field, as well as when we are connected with special people in our life, then we don't even need physical proximity to feel the connection. And I just wanted to, so that was the main reason why I wanted to introduce those layers, just to build on that there is more to us than the physical body.
Yeah, so, I completely agree, and I also share the same sentiment. Like, I would probably think that the first layer it is connected to the body. But I would never guess it's called etheric. Same, I would put mental as the second one, then something connected with the emotions as the third. Then it kind of looks okay, as per my taste. Sorry, all the people who have made this, a beautiful ladder of layers, because I almost feel like I have to walk up to kind of get a new layer or get a sense of it. It is quite, for me, weirdly, the names are counterintuitive. But
it is a very good point to actually start that discussion. When you were talking, I was just thinking about how some people, and that probably is without even knowing, you know, they have this very icky feeling when someone comes too close to them without the permission. And some people have no problem with that. And I don't know if this depends on how developed is your one of your layers, or is it because of some sensitivity? It doesn't mean you are less or more advanced, but you know, there are some people who feel very uncomfortable when someone enters their, we call it personal space, and some people don't care. And that's also interesting, because it would mean that there is an extension of you outside of your body. And that extension is not happy if you violate. Yes, bingo. Chakra bingo. So that also made me wonder that people could relate to that very simple example. So if you are someone with a challenge of having people very close to you without, you know, consent or permission, or even with that, you might feel uncomfortable. Maybe it's because some of the layers are a little bit more sensitive in you.
Yeah, I think that this is a really great entry to the whole conversation about the energy field protection. Mm-hmm. And I have really been feeling into it and thinking about it, this energy field protection, and what is my energy field and what is somebody else's energy field. And one of the first things that come to mind also when you talk about someone else's entering is the concept of boundaries. That is something that I think most of the people sooner or later have been considering. May it be boundaries at the workplace because you feel that your energy is being drained at work, or if it is, I don't know, with your mother or, you know, a friend or a boyfriend or whatever. I think that many of us can relate to it. So we feel that the energy exchange related to someone or at work, could be the work itself, it could be people at work, etc., that there is something that is not working for us. We feel drained, we feel agitated, we feel that energy is lacking, or so there is something really happening there, right?
Absolutely. I have experienced myself being around some people, I will not name them, and feeling very, very energetically drained. And by energetically drained, I will just give you a very down-to-earth example of feeling suddenly very tired, very sleepy, feeling down, like suddenly having this feeling of sadness, or if you just, I don't know, run 10 miles and you are like barely sitting there, you feel like almost collapsing. This has actually happened to me on several occasions with a specific people. It can also happen in specific places. It can be that you are at someone's home, or you can be in some place of nature or some building, and you might suddenly feel weak or very pumped up. Just to make a counter argument, you can also feel this burst of energy when you are either with someone or where you are either someone else. And I think we mentioned about this, and it makes, from that kind of scientific point of view, it makes no sense, because your body is not burning energy on any activity that should make you feel drained. You are, let's say, sitting with someone and having a conversation, but it's there, and that phenomena exists. And more often than not, when people have to go back in time and think about incidents like this, they can find at least one, as per my experience.
Yeah, and I find it really interesting, because of course now for the last 7 years, I have been learning about myself and my energy field and how it interacts with different people in different places. And I can experience, for example, this sudden drain of energy, but I can also feel suddenly really tired in a place or with a person. And actually, I have discovered, you know, like really, really tuning into it. It's because I actually feel safe and I can allow myself to feel tired and, for example, fall asleep. So, for example, at your place, Anna, I was experiencing that I was really feeling tired after visiting your place. And I was like, what is it? You know, is this something with the place and so on? And then I, when I stayed at your place recently for unexpectedly a few days, it was just a short visit and then it extended to a few days experience. I actually don't necessarily think that because you feel tired somewhere, it's a bad sign. It can mean different things, but it needs that tuning into and it needs that ability to feel into subtleties. Because when you feel tired, you can quickly judge it as something bad. You can quickly, oh, I feel really tired when I am with that person. But it really takes something. Okay, is it bad tired or good tired? You know, am I feeling safe in that space? Am I feeling safe with that person? And I can allow myself to put my guards down and I can, you know, and I feel sleepy, or I have been actually engaging in a healing conversation. And after that conversation, a lot of energy has been processed and therefore I'm feeling tired. So just wanted to bring a little bit of this, you know, to this coloring, that these things can be very, very subtle. The difference can be really, really small, but really, really significant.
Small yet significant.
Yeah. Okay. So coming back to energy protection. So let's say we have people in our life or we have places in our life where we repetitively come into that experience of there is something off. You know, there is something I specifically feel drained after, you know, after being in contact with that person, or I feel drained after going to that specific place. So what can you do? How can you actually protect yourself and protect your energy field? And is it always a good idea? Is it always a good idea to protect your energy field?
Well, first of all, if it's a place, just don't go there anymore.
Yeah,
could unless be. It's your work. I get it, because I guess some of the listeners would be like, don't go there, then why the hell are you keep on going there to drain yourself? Or for example, don't meet with that person. This would be a very straightforward, you know, answer to how not to let it happen. So there you have it, number one.
I would always start with awareness, right? So we talked about it a little bit, really tune into it and really observe yourself and what is really happening. Like, be aware and super honest with yourself. I think that it always starts there whenever you want to understand what is happening energetically. Then a very clear boundary setting, yes, no. And I do know people who have done this energy clearing, which will be the second topic, and energy protection to the level where, yes, they have banned their closest family. They have quit work. I do know people who are so sensitive, and this has been making them sick, making them so extremely exhausted. They just could not leave. So they had to do this sort of self-care to this level. So yes, it is actually a possibility. If something continuously makes you feel this way, then of course it's a possibility. I have been thinking about, you know, my approach has been like, ooh, if something is having this kind of impact on me, it means it shows me something in me, you know, it works like a mirror. So there is something inside of me that I have to heal. So when I heal it, there will no longer be that energy line that will be making this happen. You know that with me, Anna, right? I have been like, I'm going head on. I'm not avoiding. I am using all that for healing. You know, I'm going to find out what it is. I'm going to go and, you know, work on it, process it. I'm going to heal it, right? That has been my strategy for a long time.
Sweet summer child. No, but to your credit, yes, there are
of course, scenarios like this, that actually the not the problem, but the challenge is in you, and that person or place or situation is a lesson for you. And once you discover it and integrate it and heal it, that will stop to be a problem. I absolutely agree. I'm laughing because at one point it was gung-ho. That was the only option. And if I could, for example, once or twice suggest, listen, this might be just a negative energy that you don't need to deal with. You were like, I will integrate it all and heal it all, because this is all of this is mirrors. I like that approach, because that approach would mean we have a full responsibility for ourselves. But as you know, I am also not the most normal person that you have ever met. And I am taking in consideration things we don't see. I take in consideration things like different realities, different realms. And, you know, we can go to the simple example of, you know, and I know that this will make me look like a woo, but at this point of my life, I don't care. We know there are documented cases of poltergeists, of ghost seeings, you know, haunted places and stuff like this. Well, if you believe in the mirror kind of theory, and you would just decide to go to that haunted house, maybe at one point you would learn a lot about yourself, but maybe that's not the learning you are supposed to get. Maybe the learning is to recognize that there is something negative there, and you don't necessarily have to expose yourself to it constantly to learn something. Maybe the lesson is to run or call a priest or whatsoever. I know I'm going a little bit, you know, into that woo land, but why not? Aren't we living in woo land currently? But I think that the mirror kind of theory, that what you see and in others, and if it brings you down, it can be something in you, is valid. It's just not always valid.
Yeah, I think it also, when it this kind of strategy brought me to a burnout, breakdown and depression, I thought that maybe... maybe I need to look at my strategy and maybe. Just maybe could be an idea. Perhaps I could look into other things as well. So what I was like, okay, I still want to learn and heal and integrate and all that stuff, right? Because why not? Because that's the ultimate freedom, right? If you can integrate those parts of yourself. However, I thought that maybe a strategy, at least temporary strategy, could be limiting negative energy intake, as I called it.
There you go. we have arrived.
Yeah, so that is kind of like something that it's not either or, right? You can keep on working on your integration and learning for all the places that you still need to work on in yourself. However, we talked about it last time. There is a lot of negative energy projection and all that stuff happening in the media. So one way to protect your energy field is to actually limit that that negative energy intake. Mm-hmm. And may that be, you know, switching off the TV, not following as many news, spotting the people, places, etc., which do drain you, and simply selecting, you know, being more selective, being more aware in how do you spend your time, who do you spend your time with, and what do you feed your energy field with. I met this concept of toxins, right? We all know the toxins, like in our foods and all that, that actually emotions and especially our mental approaches can really produce toxins. And I remember that it was one of the most interesting experiences that I have had, and it repeated continuously and many times already. After spiritual workshops, after consciousness work, or even after a massage, like body therapy and so on, I pee green stuff. So, yeah, really.
Excuse me?
Yeah, my pea turns green. And I have asked about it to several people, and they say it's actually toxins. So when doing...
I'm sorry, I have not experienced this turn of events. I thought, like, I feel this, or I pee green. Okay, Marta, green pee. It's very toxic.
Yes.
That actually, yeah. That weirdly, the green, the color of life and nature, but when you pee it, my first word that comes to my mind is Toxic Avenger, and I don't know why. I think that because there was a guy once drowned in this. Yeah, it's like even radioactive toxic things in movies are like fluorescent green.
Yeah.
Holy shit, green pee.
Yeah, so
Not pee.
When it happened first time, I of course thought I had an infection, right? That I was I was getting ill and so on. And then someone else mentioned it was a workshop that they pee like really, really green stuff. And the workshop facilitator was like, yeah, that's completely normal. Forgot to mention this, you know, and it's important you drink a lot of water, because even though we are doing mental and emotional work here, this is as toxic as any other type of toxin. So that was an interesting experience. And because it has been happening to me for the last 7 years, basically every time I do work with my negative or difficult emotions, with traumas, with mental, you know, I think mental is even more hardcore than the emotional one. So our beliefs and programming and all that stuff, I know that for myself. I know that this is how my body responds. So for me, it's no longer a surprise. It just lasts a day or two, and then it turns back to the normal range of colors that we are more familiar with when it
just
comes
to make
to
sure, what is your normal pee color? Because if you tell me it's purple, I'm gonna
no, it goes on a yellow scale.
I'm sorry, I'm still quite surprised by... I never expected that. It makes a lot of sense, but, you know, never in my life I had a green pee.
Or what maybe you haven't put attention. Maybe you don't check your pee every time.
No, not necessarily, you know, not that interesting.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So, so you see, I can still surprise you. That's amazing.
Holy shit.
Yeah, holy shit, that could be another conversation.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, let's leave the poo for another episode, because we need to attract people so they keep on coming. Yeah.
You know, so this is a wonderful moment that proves you can never get bored with people, that people have so much that you can talk to them for 20, 30, 40, 50 years, almost every day, and they will still have something to surprise you, right?
Sweet Lord, yeah. I'm waiting for more, Marta, because I thought I knew you, but that green pea, that that's completely off the charts for me. I would never suspect that you pee green.
Yeah.
Now I have now to come up with something. Yeah.
Yeah. Now you know.
Now I have to come up with something. Now I know.
So another way of taking care, maybe protecting, maybe taking care of your energy field is a good, because then it can be both protection and clearing. However, you can limit the negative energy intake, and you can surround yourself with people you trust. These kind of people where you can be yourself. You don't have to have your guards up. You don't have to be actually protecting yourself. The people you feel safe with. And not many people that, you know, that make you, feel drained and stuff. Then entering to the more consciousness-related ways of protecting yourself. My teacher, Cynthia, has taught us a protection prayer. So this is a way to invoke an energy protection where you actually imagine your energy field. And you imagine that there is a bubble around your energy field, and you set like conditions in which something can or cannot enter your energy field. And I have been using that quite a lot at the beginning. And I have been using it quite a lot when doing consciousness work, when working with people, because, okay, if my own emotions and mental stuff can cause green pea and exhaustion and many other very physical experiences. And when you talk to people who have been doing work on themselves, and it does not have to be any crazy stuff, any, you know, ayahuasca, or it does not have to be any super, like, I don't know, crazy spiritual, whatever. Working even with your therapist on your trauma, your mainstream psychologist, trauma work, etc., people can throw up. You know, this is really, really stuff that it's, at least for me, this is already very, very normal, that the emotional, mental, physical, spiritual, that it's all interconnected, intertwined, and you cannot disconnect one from the other, even if you try. So protection prayer is a way to protect your energy field. And I am a little bit, right now, not 100% like clear on, do I want to keep on doing this? Do I, how often am I actually, like, the protection prayer that I have learned, it allows in the higher vibration, but it's supposed to block the lower vibration. First of all, I'm not sure that it really works this way. Second of all, am I then protecting myself from an energy exchange with other people? I don't think so. It's been a little bit confusing for me. However, there has been times where I have used the protection prayer and I have really felt its effect. So I'm going to share the free video workshop to the protection. It's a general energy protection workshop, not only the protection prayer, but other ways to protect your energy field as well, for my teacher, Cynthia Lam. And I really feel that this is a good way to get to know your energy field and to see if a protection prayer is something for you or not. What do you, Anna, think about protection, energy protection, protection prayers? Is that something that you have been doing in any way, protecting your energy field? How is it with you?
The first reflection I have, my dear, is if we would just stay hardcore Catholics, we wouldn't have any of those questions in our head, if this is a, you know, a good thing, or should you stop sometimes, because the first thing, guys, if you think that this is weird, you know, to have a prayer for your energy field protection, if you are practicing any religion, or even if you are not practicing, but you were raised in any religion, every single religion has protection prayers. Not one, multiple. For example, in Catholic religion, in Poland, it's very, very normal to teach children. One of the first prayers is to pray to your guardian angel, which is, and I will remind you, Marta, very briefly, Aniele Boże, stróżu mój, ty zawsze przy mnie stój, which means, my guardian angel, please stand by me in the day, in the night, protect me from all evil. That is the prayer I still know. Now, you also have different saints who can protect you from things. You go in a car, you pray to Saint Christoph for the safe travel, for not having an accident. Most drivers in Poland still probably, especially from the older generations, they will have a bit of a, you know, either a Saint Christopher kind of, my God, I hope it's Christopher, Święty Krzysztof. Okay, guys, don't, yeah, Marta is saying that it's probably that guy, but I will check it. So that saint, you basically have either his little like icon in a car or something that would, you know, symbolize that saint. So you will have a safe travel because he was the traveler's saint. So we are both raised in a Catholic country, so I guess we do have an experience with protection prayers from that side. And they were just, you know, a very common thing. You were learning them And now I think maybe some of them are falling into the quote-unquote superstitious kind of things you do before, let's say, you drive or travel. However, no one would ever think, is it too much? Should I not ask my guardian angel to protect me today? Because maybe I need that lesson from that lower energy vibe. So I actually start to also see that, yeah, I think the religion we were raised in doesn't even raise these questions. And I think the question you raised, should we always do it, is a very valid question. If you don't want to expose yourself to everything that this universe has to offer. But that was my, like, my first kind of like a brainstorm revelation. Like, we, someone can be like, oh, energy field protection. Well, if you were raised in any a religion, I'm pretty sure you know at least protection prayer to someone. It's just that we have it, like we have a whole pantheon of saints and angels that you can pray to for different things. Many of those things are protection prayers. So this is something that is really embedded in cultures universally, because I know for a fact that in Islam you have protection prayers, prayers. Maybe also have a protection prayers. Who knows? I'm not that familiar, but I know that there are protection prayers there. Probably in Judaism, I would assume every religion has, because every religion has also the dark side, you know, the Darth Vader of the things, the dark energy, the either the Satan, the Lucifer, Ahriman, if you are going into esoterical things. And it is, let's say, kind of logical that you would like to protect yourself from it. But then maybe you are keeping yourself into this like a holy child of the God, innocent, not really having any impacts, influences from other realms or vibes that you should actually have in order to grow as a soul and as a human in this realm. So this is actually a very interesting question that you are posing right now, Marta. When to know when it's too much, or when to know if you need it or if you want it? Because I think one thing that you mentioned to me, and maybe I'm jumping in front of the horse, and I have now visualization of that. I don't know why. I lately visualize all the things I'm saying, even the proverbs, and it's really funny. But you were also saying that the energy protection itself can be energy draining, right? That's an interesting thing. But in many religions, if you actually ask your guardian angel, your saint, not your saint, the universal saint, for a protection, you should actually pay back with something, you know, either with thank you, or with a little gift, or with something on the altar. Or many people like do some things like 3 days without, I don't know, bread to honor that saint. There is this kind of a transactional relationship with, if you protect me, then I will do this to kind of thank you for the protection. And in, I think in the kind of the spiritual teachings, many of those, that's not there. But maybe that energy drainage from you when you do the protection is the payment. I don't know. Did I went completely to the cosmos right now and you need to bring me back?
No, I don't think so, because I don't think I am in a place where I actually have the answers to that. That would be satisfactory even for myself. And yes, I have been wondering if I am doing a protection prayer, which in this sense, I am taking responsibility for my energy field. So if I am protecting myself from some energies, how much energy does it take to actually keep those shields up? So I have been considering that. Does it actually take energy from me to keep my guards up? I don't really know. I think, again, this is something that no one can really give you the answers. You can only know it for yourself. And it takes quite a lot of tuning in and quite a lot of trial and error for you to know it for sure. And then again, because it is esoterical, and this is not something that you can measure, and it's not, you know, signed off by a modern science, then it is a little bit, you know, a little bit tricky to know for sure. So yet again here, I think we haven't talked about it yet, your inner guidance and how you know what is true for you or not, that will come in the future episodes. So when it comes to energy protection, I think I still have more questions than answers. And definitely, and I think this is a good bridge to go into energy clearing and calling it the energy clearing and energy protection as a energy, like caring for your energy, you know, like the energy self-care. Because one of the things that are a bit out there and which are worthwhile connecting when we are talking about protection prayers, etc., is cutting energy cords. That is one of the more interesting and a little bit out there concepts where in various spiritual teachings I have met that every person that we interact with, we create like an energy channel. There is a two-way energy exchange, and some people call it a channel or a cord. And if this is people with whom we only interact very briefly, and this is a very short and insignificant interaction, this kind of energy channel or cord can be easily, you know, cleared away or disappear or transmuted. However, when we talk about people with whom we have had close relation, and that of course goes for our parents, it goes for our children, family members, etc. And what is interesting, at least in some of the teachings, especially people we have had sex with. So this is a very in certain spiritual schools an act of making love or having sex it's a very big act of a very on because it's an exchange on a very physical but also emotional and mental, and you know, can also be further away into our energy field, I suppose, some form of connection is being created. So one of the things that people talk about when you are consistently feeling drained and not having a really clear knowledge where that energy goes, it is because someone can be feeding off your energy. And there is this energy vampire kind of concept. And I think that there is something to be said there for sure. And I think, Anna, you probably can say more about that. However, if you're connected with other people and they are going through something, it does make sense that you can feel it. And as parents, I think we can really easily relate to when there is something happening to our children, how much we feel it. So it is, I think this is one of the most significant and powerful and overwhelming and energetical connections. Maybe it doesn't have to be a cord or a channel, whatever connection that is almost impossible to break. And I don't know, probably possible. That's why I say almost impossible. And would you like to? So for example, if you have a child, especially an adult child, with whom you have a very toxic relationship, would you like to cut that connection? You know, would you like to cut that cord? Would you like to get all the energy that is yours back and send the energy that does not belong to you away? Because that's one of the ways that could make sense, for example, with an ex-boyfriend or an ex-partner. You know, we no longer want to have that connection. We believe we have learned all we could from that relationship. We want to fully close it. There are beautiful guided meditations, rituals, etc., where you can clear that energy connection and cut the cord and be free from that connection. However, what about your parents? What about your children? What about energy members? That's a new kind of family.
Energy members.
how do you feel about it, Anna?
Oh man, I actually have three other things from the previous when you were talking that I wanted to come back to, but I will actually start with answering your question. Call it synchronicity or Facebook algorithm looking in the future and bringing to your present time the things that you will discuss in 2 days. I actually saw on Facebook there is this Polish influencer, I don't remember his account name, but he's a positive parenting influencer. He's a guy. If I will remember or remind my, or maybe Marta, you know who I'm talking about. It's something with Ojciec, and he posted two videos within the last 2 days about adult children that are disconnecting from their parents, and it was in a form of maybe like a small monologue, like your child, your adult child did not choose to disconnect from you because you forgot to give him breakfast once to school, or because you had a fight, or because this and that. For the child to decide to disconnect from the parent, this must have been a monumental screw up that is not a screw up in a terms of an outcome, but of you not being there, not being the parent that you should be. In a sense, you are not the figure that your child wants to come. And then when we become adult, we actually can look at our parents from a perspective of not a child that is dependent on the parent, but more or less equal. So you see the parent through the eyes of being an adult, and then you can see this person sucks, and this person actually harmed me in so many ways, and there is so many people who are going to therapy because of their parents, you know. And of course we are talking about more severe cases, like, you know, neglect or even parents that are narcissistic, stuff like this. But this is opening another topic, and I will just park it here. But basically the videos he was posting, they were posing a question to the audience, to his followers, like, you know, what do you think about it? Is this even a right thing to do? And the deluge of comments, the river of comments of an adult people who were writing, I had to do it for myself because my parents this and this and this. And, you know, of course, you cannot take everything at the face value. This is internet. There are different sides of the story. But I could see that some people really suffered as children, and they did cut the contact. Now, can that connection, can that energy be severed completely? I don't know. I know that you can definitely stop talking to your parents. You can completely, you know, remove them from your life. Absolutely, that's possible. Change numbers, move out, not respond to anything. But I believe that on some, and now I'm really scared to use this kind of, you know, words from the seven layers, because I wanted to say on some etheric level, on some energetical level, I think the connection is always there. Because you are at least biological, but if you believe into other things, you are also karmic extension of your parents. However, then the question is, what if your karmic lesson that was posed on you through generations and generations before you, what if your karmic lesson was to sever finally that connection in order to heal the whole line, right? But again, I'm going into another topic because obviously I love it. So yeah, I think it's possible. I think for a mental health of many people, it's actually necessary. I am just not sure if you can do it completely on all the energetical levels and all the karmic levels, but that's just my opinion and not a fact. But maybe by cutting yourself out of a very toxic family members, you actually heal something for everyone, including those people, because maybe they need that lesson. I'm not sure how it is in the reverse parent-child, like the parent cuts itself
from the child. But yeah, I know those cases as well. I heard about them. And here, I think for the parents, many times it's a necessity, because if you have a very troubled adult child, there are cases when you basically, you know, you are being used completely by the child with no remorse. And that could also be something that you have to do. If we go to a specific thing of, let's say, addictions, any addiction counselor will advise a parent to kick out their adult child and stop sponsoring the addiction by providing, let's say, the space to leave, the food, because that should, at least in that theory, that should work like a cold shower, because otherwise you are enabling the addiction. So there are even thoughts about, you know, doing that for the sake of a child and a parent, right? So that was my 3 cents about that. To sum up, yes, possible, absolutely. And I don't think it's even shameful, but I think there might be an energetical lingering somewhere out there always.
Yeah, that's very, very interesting. And I'm looking at the time, so we don't have much time to go into that topic. I think it could be an interesting episode sometime in the future to go really, really deeply into that. Now, today, as a closing of this episode, I would like to bring just a few more user-friendly, everyday energy clearing practices. And I wanted to mention, like we talked about our energy fields and people, just wanted to connect back to the places. So our homes, the places where we live, it's really, really important to take care of the energy of your home. It makes a huge difference for me. It makes a huge difference when my house is clear and also physically clear, cleared out of clutter. When I take care of energy in the house and for myself. And one of the ancient ways, almost all the practices have a way of doing that. It's called smudging. And you can use different things. I think white sage is one of the popular ones, or Palo Santo, or different type of incenses. This is something that can really help you clear your own energy field as well as the house energy field. And this is something that I do. And I feel, even if it is just for myself to feel better, because, for example, I like the smell of an incense or whatever, I feel a difference. So I keep on doing that. So I would say, if you are feeling a lot of negativity around yourself, or you feel heavy energy at your home, use some of those ancient methods of clearing your space. And another thing that I would say, like, for your body. So if you feel a lot of heaviness in your body, and whether in this sense it's very, very physical or emotional or mental, bath. And whether that is an Epsom salts bath or going to the sea, water is so easily, it's such an amazing tool for clearing, cleansing your energy field. And if you have had a lot of negativity at work, even taking a shower straight, taking away your clothes, putting them to the laundry, taking a shower after work to clear your energy field. That's something I have heard my friends mentioning. Certain essential oils can be used. And essential oils is something that I use a lot for many different purposes. Some people use crystals. I am not familiar with crystals that much. I wouldn't even know which crystal to recommend here. My preferred ways
if it's heavy enough, you can protect yourself very well by throwing it at the intruder.
Oh, you see? That's a very good one. But I would say for my own, I do smudging, I do baths, and especially going to the sea and sauna, I feel such a relief of energy, such a big cleansing, clearing of energy. If I do this, sweating out in the sauna and then go into the seawater and sweating out in the sauna and go into the seawater, sometimes it's an extreme. It's an extreme difference before and after taking a bath or taking a swim in the sea. Definitely using essential oils. I also use breathing, breath work to clear my energy field. And I don't know if there is anything more that I'm using like daily. What about you, Anna? Do you have something more that you use for clearing, protecting, or just simply taking care of your energy field?
I would say yes, and I don't know why I start to sound like some old Catholic teacher, because I'm gonna pull all my Catholic knowledge. I'm not even practicing for like decades by now. And yet I find a lot of interesting, I would even say it's more in Christianity. And the reason why I have also this renewed interest in Christianity is because Rudolf Steiner talks a lot about Christ impulse, which is something very different than what we are being taught in the church and at the religious classes. Regardless of that, smudging. Some people say this is a hipster way to do stuff, you know, with your house and... That's actually bullshit. I'm sorry to say that, because first of all, it is very known thing that quote unquote witches and pagans were doing. And if you live in Poland and priest visits your home every year because they need money for the church, they do come with a smudge. They smudge your apartment. It's called pokolędzie in Polish. So smudging is an integral way of clearing energy, even in a Catholic church. And smudging is also very common in an Orthodox church. If you go there, you smudge at every mass. So there is, if witches are doing this, if priests are doing this, and if hipsters are doing this, that's a three yeses for me. I'm gonna smudge. So yes, sometimes I do it. I usually don't necessarily do it intentionally to protect my home, but I use Frank and Palo Santo many times just to smudge a little bit of the space where I am, and I feel lifted. Another thing regarding actually protection prayers, I think, again, Poland, Catholic Church, what did you do to me? I do tend to ask, for instance, Archangel Michael for the protection, which is considered that this is the dude that actually right now is, you know, taking care of our planet. Poor guy. I know he's very busy, but if I need house protection, there are prayers to Archangel Michael. Fascinating archetype, by the way, together with Gabriel. Maybe we will do an episode about angels at one point. And weirdly, I will also pull someone else because we live in Denmark. So there is also a Norse mythology that is that kind of a pagan belief, which has a small resurgence. And I don't know why, but I'm very drawn to Freya, the daughter of Odin. And I even have a Freya statue, and I sometimes ask her for protection, especially for my girls. For some reason, that feels right to me. So I do that. And yeah, probably I remember when I was going for the driver's license classes, I was like, hey, Saint Christopher, because I checked, it is Saint Christopher. And if you go on Google and put it in Polish, the first hit you will get is Wikipedia and the prayer. So available for you in any language. And I was like, yeah, hey, Saint Christopher, you know, I'm gonna drive today. Could we please agree that I will not kill myself or someone else? Some people feel very comfortable with learning the prayer and reciting it. And there is that, that's kind of like casting a spell. Some people feel more comfortable about just like, hey, it's me, we haven't talked for a while, but could you please? And I'm probably that type of a person. I'm more like in a dialogue with the saints I'm pulling from. By the way, I don't think it's a betrayal,
that I use something from Christianity and something from the Norse religion, I actually think that in the end of the day, this might be one big pantheon of gods and archetypes and angels, and they are actually living probably very happy with each other. It's us here on this level that are fighting what is real and not. So that's my unorthodoxic ways and very typical ways, depending where you are geographically, to use the protection. But one thing I will tell you, Marta, it's not something I do daily. It is something that I do when I feel I need it. So I probably don't have this questions of, you know, is it too much? Because this is not something I will pull out lightly. And last but not least, I ask for help and protection my grandparents, who are all not in this world anymore. And I feel that, you know, they are probably having my best interest in mind. I don't think there is any bad will there. So especially when my girls are sick, that's who I'm going to ask for help. And I don't know why, it just came to me at certain points. And it's very strange, because every time I pray or talk to my grandparents, my kids feel better within half an hour to an hour. And I do take in consideration that this might be, you know, close to that breaking point when you have a sick child and you are really sick and worried and you don't see an end to it, but you don't know that you are actually at that kind of a breakthrough when the kid will stop having the fever or there will be. So it could be a coincidence, but it always happens when I pray and I ask my ancestors for help, and suddenly there is like, oh, okay, she feels a little bit better. That's amazing. So that was from my side.
Thank you, Anna. And thank you for building the bridges across Christianity and then the Nordic and then paganism. I love it. This is what we are here for, right? We want to be as open as possible. And also, and I think quite soon we should go for that episode where we talk about how do we select what's true for us? Like, how do you select something from Catholic Church or Christianity? How do you select something from Nordic mythology? How do you select something from paganism? And why a witch and a priest in one sentence, and they use the same tool? And then the priests were a lot into burning witches in the past, you know? So it's kind of like...
Competition.
Okay, that's a good one. So I think soon we should have that episode where we will be talking about, like, how do we keep so open-minded and how do we select what's true for us, what works for us, and how do we remain without, you know, necessarily also condoning or judging others, right?
Yeah,
for their own Absolutely. Choices, because I think that this is what we desperately need on planet Earth. Let mm-hmm. them be, you know, just let Absolutely. The others be. And as long as someone is not actively, you know, like doing
harming
harm
others,
to another person, like what the hell, just let them believe in their God, in their whatever. Anyway, let's wrap up this episode. Thank you so much for being with us through this conversation on energy field, energy protection, and energy clearing. And next time we are going into a more, even more spooky, into an even more Ooh. Out there, an alternative universe of energy. And that time, Anna, you will be the one preparing yourself, because that's more your area. So looking forward to that one. And thank you so much for today. It's been very interesting.
Yeah. And guys, if you have your own ways, guys and girls, listeners, if you have your own unique ways of how you protect your energy, your home, or just yourself and your family, just drop us an email. We are available on womenscircleinstitute.com. This podcast has a page. You will find it on the main page. And we have an email address where you can just drop us a message. So we look forward to hear from you if you have your own ways, or if you have a question, or if you, even if you have a hate mail, you know, like, how could you mix the Norse mythology together with the Catholic Church? Send it there. We are curious to see what are your takes, what are your experiences, and what are your questions. So we look forward to that.
Thank you so much. Have a beautiful rest of the day. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.